Grace, mercy, and peace are ours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ.
Amen.
Ananias and Sapphira, what do you do with them? People in the early church who apparently had some wealth, they certainly had a piece of property that was available to them. A piece of property, we should note, that was theirs by right. They owned it, they had bought it, and they chose to sell it. And this was apparently a common practice in the early church, as our text says, that as there were those in need, those who had a little bit more would sell what they had, give it to the apostles, lay it at their feet, and it would be given to care for the poor. But Ananias and Sapphira struggled with that. Struggled with the idea of giving up what was theirs and giving it to someone else, and struggled with the social pressure of the expectation. And so they hatched a plan. They came up with a solution. We'll simply sell it, and we just won't give all of it. But of course, if we say we're not giving all of it, then that won't look good. So we'll sell it. We won't give all of it, but we'll say that we will. And of course, you've just heard how the story ends. It is amazing to me that 2,000 years ago, the scriptures record that two believers dropped dead because they were more concerned about the social appearance than about the truth. That they were more concerned with what other people thought than our Lord's command that we care for the poor. And yeah, that's surprising because this isn't like it was a new command. It's not like in the New Testament era, suddenly the poor become important. Over and over and over again throughout the Old Testament, Israel is commanded that they are going to care for the fatherless and the widow, the alien and the stranger. It is foundational. It is elemental. It is identity for Israel. This is who they are. That some part of being the people of God is fundamentally wrapped up and the reality that they champion the cause of the outsider, that they exist to take in those on the margins and call them inside. Because that's what God does. We serve a God who specializes in bringing the outsider in, who takes broken and abused things and makes them whole again. We lose sight of that. We get caught up in the immediacy of our own lives, our own situations, our own churches, our own families, our own fears. And we become more concerned sometimes with the social appearance than with the broken and dying world that we're called to care for. And that's a hard truth. It's a hard truth to speak. It's a hard truth to hear. Because the truth is that sometimes I'm more concerned with whether or not Pastor's going to change out the sort of communion wine we use than with the care of a broken and dying world. It's just truth. You know, if Ananias and Sapphira teach us anything, it's that the people of God have a responsibility to be honest with one another, that the truth matters. In that spirit, let's take a moment and just be honest about the way our world is. The truth is, right here, right now, today, that our world is dying. That you only have to turn on the news or read the paper or look on the web to see the stories that tell what's going on. That right now, by some estimates, 11 million people have been forced to flee their homes in Syria because of the ongoing civil war. And they're left homeless as refugees, some inside, some outside of Syria, with nowhere to go. Not enough food, not enough shelter. The needs are immense. The truth is that over 750 million people in our world lack access to something as fundamental to survival as access to clean water. It's truth. Our world is dying. Our nation is dying. Best number I could find is that 3,000 abortions happen in the United States every day. We've made great strides. There's progress still to go. It's 3,000 innocent lives ended for the sake of convenience every day. Relatedly, we have in our foster care system in this country 100,000 children. Not just children in foster care, but children who are free and available for adoption. Where parental rights have been terminated, there is nothing standing in the way of them having a home except families that are willing and able to take them in. Those things are tied together. If we're going to continue to be pro-life, and of course we are, you have to be aggressively pro-adoption as well. If lives matter then, they matter later. Our nation is dying. Truth is that our cities are dying. Hopefully you know by now we've got a conference going on campus this week, and I hope you'll take the time to come and to learn and to be a part of that, to learn how it is we can reach out to our inner city. What is it we can do in urban ministry to share the gospel more effectively? Because our cities are dying. Because the truth is, and I heard this statistic last week and I had to go run it down and find the source because I didn't believe it. 73%, I want to get that right, 73% of African American children born in our country today are born out of wedlock. Most of that happening in our inner cities. No father at home, sometimes, you know, single parent family, sometimes different arrangements. But the concept of the family, of marriage, is struggling. And our nation's dying as a result. Our cities are dying as a result. I got the text just before I got up here this morning that one of our seniors at Promise passed away last night unexpectedly. And so we're mourning that, and we're working through that process. And I can't help but think it's yet one more example how great the needs are, of the way that our cities and our communities need the love of Christ, because they're dying without it. The needs are immense. The call is clear. We are sent to go and to care for the least of these, but I want to be careful with that, because the reality is there are in our world some incredibly broken and destructive theologies. There are churches and theologies that will say that you will care for the poor because of your faith. And the way they do that is problematic, not so much in that statement, but because it becomes this litmus test. That if you really have faith, if you really love Jesus, then you're going to go out and you're going to care for the poor and you're going to care for the sick and you're going to care for the needy. And that's somehow true. But that approach is so broken and flawed because it leaves me wondering if I've done enough ever. The reality is that we don't do it to prove anything. God is not going to love you more if you go into urban ministry or rural ministry or whatever, international. God already loves you. We are children of God. We are the outsider called to come inside. We have been redeemed from sin, death, and the grave because we know what it's like to be poor, to be broken, to be hopeless. We reach out to those around us out of that experience, out of the love that God has had for us. We reach out and share, caring for them and bringing healing, hope, and life. If we get it backwards, that gets to be destructive. It's a problem because the truth is I'll get it wrong too. That I'm going to finish up here today and I'm going to go work on the conference and I'm going to work as though somehow this is what determines my value. And it's not. We are beloved children of God, and we need to hear that each and every day, if not each and every moment. That's why we gather here every day. That's why we come together in this place day by day to hear the Word of God, to be reminded of who we are We are the outsider called in. We are the dead man given life. We are the redeemed. It's why we gather each week here at this altar around Christ's body broken and his blood poured out to eat and drink and taste and see forgiveness and grace and mercy, because I need something I can hold to hold on to, something I can touch. We come before God without pretense, without illusion, without lies. We come honestly to our Lord's table, to our Lord's altar. We come, as one of my dear professors put it so often, with empty hands. But those are the only sort into which the Lord gives his gifts, empty. We who are broken and battered, fallen and sinful, come empty to be filled. And thanks be to God, we are. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, hold our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.